In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The last couple weeks, I've been in and out of town, traveling to and from Cincinnati. My mother, I was born and raised there, and my mother is 93 and is still perking and doing very well, actually, but she's had a rough month and has been hospitalized 4 times. My brother is also in the nursing home where she lives, and he has MS, and my sister is younger than he. She also has MS, and so I, being 68, am the one kicking still in the family. So I've been back and forth. One of the things that dawned on me as I was reading and praying over these readings this week, obviously the story of the Good Samaritan. But when I was growing up in Cincinnati, I grew up a little Catholic boy, by the way, and was a Catholic priest for a Franciscan in the monk for 25 years before I got married, which kind of precluded hanging on. So kind of things changed up a little bit, and I'm real happy with what I'm doing now. So just for the record. The fiber of the community, there was this great hospital, which is the one that my mother ended up in, called Good Samaritan Hospital. And it dawned on me this week as I was praying over these readings, how much of the fiber of our sort of history as a community and as a church, this story has become, right? Who in here can't tell that story without the book? Right, and I know y'all were in the book because you know that's what we do as Episcopalians—we read the book. But we don't need to because we can tell that story. It appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, though differently, with a little different in texture to it. It appears in all three of those the synoptic gospels, and so we know that story. And most of us, when we think about that story, we think about the Good Samaritan. He was a good guy, right? I mean, he took care of when these other guys, the priest and the Levite, the best that Israel had to offer, right? As Jesus tells the story, the best that Israel had to offer, they kind of walked by on the other side and left the poor guy who was beat up in the street, left him to die. Jesus said he was almost dead. But the guy that stopped was the Samaritan, so the story's all about the Samaritan. Well, no, the story's not at all really about the Samaritan. The story's a story. It probably never even happened. Jesus made it up. It was a parable, right? He told a story to tell a lesson. So the Good Samaritan probably didn't even exist as a person, though we have wonderful statues of him all over the place, especially at Good Samaritan Hospital in Cincinnati. I'm thinking, well, that's cool, but did he really look like that? Point is this, the story is really aimed at, out of Jesus' mouth, is aimed at the lawyer, the guy who, the gospel says, tried to trip Jesus up, tried to test Jesus. And in a sense, it kind of probably backfired, because what Jesus is asking in this gospel is for this young man, this lawyer, to really renegotiate his worldview. To really change how he thinks. The lawyer had the right answers. Jesus said that. You said the right thing. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? You said the right thing. And by the way, we say that all the time at church on Sunday, especially right one people. That, we know that to be the case. That's important. That's part of our fiber. But then Jesus goes on to say, what does that mean? Who is your neighbor? And that's when he makes up this story. And the story is like this. Jesus, while he made up that story, we know from this part of Luke, is north of Jerusalem, coming out of Nazareth, heading south to the big city, knowing what was going to happen there in Jerusalem. But he tells the story about what's happening south, or maybe a little west of Jerusalem, but down the hill, right? And he says, this guy was beat up, this Jewish man was beat up on the road to Jericho, which is downhill from Jerusalem. It's where it starts to get really hot and really ugly and kind of treacherous, right? Heading toward or around the Dead Sea area. So this guy gets beat up on the road, And then the best of what Israel has to offer, the priest and the Levite walk around him. And Jesus, as he tells the story, says, but the Samaritan, by the way, as most of you know, the Samaritans were despised by the people who lived in Jerusalem. They were the other. They were the people who lived literally on the other side of the border. They were people who came at life very differently. And just as easily, you could say that the Samaritans despised the people who lived in Jerusalem. They didn't get along at all. So Jesus in this story says, it's the Samaritan who has pity. It's the Samaritan who shows mercy. And that's the point of the story. Not that this Samaritan did this, but that he was the Samaritan. And this little Jewish lawyer guy is meant to renegotiate probably his worldview. Because Jesus is saying, somehow, if you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, you have to renegotiate, perhaps, from some of the categories that divide us from each other. Because in the kingdom of God, those categories don't matter. And in the kingdom of God, what's important is not where you come from, or maybe what color you might be, or what language you might speak. We don't ask questions in the kingdom of God so much about those things that we can get all hyped up about, and they did back then too. And when Jesus picks out of his brain the concept of using a Samaritan as being the good guy and telling this lawyer, if you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, you have to emulate the virtues of the other. You have to somehow look at what it means to be different, to feel broken and ostracized, maybe to be poor, and somehow get beyond those definitions to the fact that people are made in the image and likeness of God no matter what. And as much as we can banter about, and even today in our own dialogue so often out there, and sometimes even in churches, and not here, I don't know, because I don't know you guys, but I will soon, you know, we banter about forgetting about what Jesus' lesson today is all about. That we are one with each other no matter what. And Jesus is challenging us in this gospel, as he did that lawyer, certainly challenging me, I can't talk for y'all, I don't know you, but challenging me to maybe rethink what it means to live and to build up the kingdom of God. Because I have boundaries. There are certain kinds of folks that it's much more difficult for me to be with. Frankly, that's different from a lot of people. Because I love being in the streets of downtown Houston with all the drunks and alcoholics. For some reason, I know that sounds sick, but that's kind of who I am. And I have much more difficulty sometimes understanding people who can't do that or who have an allergy to those kinds of things. But we all have our stuff. And that stuff, that garbage in our life, is what Jesus is addressing today with this lawyer, with this guy. He's saying you have your stuff. You got all the right phrases. You know what to say. You know the scripture. But it's how you apply it that matters. And unless it's applied in a context of love, of understanding, of empathy, and of mercy, it's empty words. It's hollow. It's shallow, like that priest that walked by and that keeper of the law, that Levite that walked by. They knew better, but they didn't apply it. And in the first reading today from Amos, some of the same dynamics, though it was 8 centuries earlier. Amos, probably the first of the minor prophets, predated Isaiah, the biggies, Isaiah, Jeremiah, he predated them. But here he is, if you read this scripture and get into it, you notice what Amos is doing. He's aiming his prophecy at the leader of the country and at the priest of the country. And he's saying, you're going down. And it's God who is going to take you down. And the reason you're going down, and you're not going to be able to function as a leader of the country because you will be powerless, and you're not going to be able to function as a priest because your wife's going to be known as a prostitute. The reason you're going down is because you have no concern for the poor. And you have no concern for building justice in the world around you. And you have no concern for the words that come out of my mouth as a prophet. Now we all know the end of Amos. You're going down, but the Lord will rebuild you. The Lord will rebuild you. So there's hope there too in the prophetic message. But that's what's happening today in these readings. It's kind of incredibly powerful. And I think we're called upon to sort of rethink those nice statues of the Good Samaritan, you know, taking care of somebody. And think more about the lawyer being challenged to think and rethink and constantly, because we're never finished, rethink how it is that we take what we believe and make it happen. In the context of learning as people how to become more and more empathetic, more and more loving, as Jesus says, more and more merciful. Ultimately, we see that modeled and we learn those lessons around this table every Sunday morning. As we tell our stories and we listen to Jesus and we're fed, as he promised, week in and week out by his own body and blood given. That Jerusalem experience that he was walking toward when he told this story that we shared this morning. And it's that faith that Jesus will never, ever abandon us, no matter how bad we get, no matter how broken we are, no matter how sinful we can be as individuals and as a nation and as a people, no matter what, he will never abandon us. And will always desire to call us into forgiveness of our sins, which means change of heart, and into deeper and richer unity with him as a person, as the same guy that lawyer walked up to, as we walk up to almost every Sunday and say, Jesus, teach us how to live in the kingdom of God. Teach us how to build up this kingdom of God. Teach us how, Lord, to be one with each other. Amen.